With the section sealed off, Barron's team was responsible for damage assessment and control in the starboard aft compartments of troop deck. Barron sent his team off to take readings in each compartment. He stayed by the command console from which he could report results or receive orders. He felt a lurch in his stomach.
The gravity generators again?
And glanced at the gauge nearest him. Sure enough, a 2% negative spike. The lights dimmed, then brightened. Missile launches.
Are we taking hits, sir?
Missile launchers.
Barron looked up at Petty Officer O'Neill. Their eyes met, and he saw that O'Neill was watching him just as he watched the others. O'Neill gave a short nod.
That was incoming.
O'Neill grinned for a moment.
Check the seals first.
Pressure had to be all right. He would have felt it if it hadn't been. He glanced down at his console. Two decks down, a red blaze expanded across the ship's schematic.
Hull breach! Hull breach! Report all starboard aft teams!
Barron pressed his code key and read off the current numbers.
Serrano, get your team to environmental. Go down the port side access. Watch the heads up on the way down in case the aft locks don't hold.
Barron tried to remember what he'd been told about hull breaches. Everything tried to escape to vacuum. The air and all that could be moved by the explosive decompression. This left the damaged area clear, usually, of the noxious gases and thick smoke that endangered personnel when the ship was still whole, but some system had fractured. But the next compartments, where there might be pressure loss, were likely to be cold, dark, and confusing. In the aft portside passage, Barron and his team met up with the officer on site. The major glanced at his name tag.
Serrano, good. We want you in SE-14. Pressure's dropping, slow enough that it must be fairly small, but big enough to indicate nothing's plugged in yet. Your report channel is 11. Cycle through two at a time and be careful. Pressure differential's enough to knock you off your feet. You'll go in number four, got that?
Barron led the way into the lock. When it opened on the far side, he faced the starboard passage, now lit only by emergency lighting, and the long emergency bulkhead that separated the passage from the plumbing works of environmental. Along it, several preformed partial pressure locks showed, each clearly labeled. He located number four, and as the rest of his team cycled through, he opened the number four emergency locker and handed out the elements of the single-person pressure lock. This was something they'd drilled in often enough. Place the frame to the existing frame and seal, pop open the rest, and check that the other side of the lock was closed. The first person through did not actually cycle through, but was pushed by the suction that pulled the lock into the low-pressure chamber and held it extended until the second locked the frame in place. Barron checked that everything was ready, took another look at his suit readouts, grabbed hold of the safety bar of what would become the low-pressure side of the inner hatch, and popped the bulkhead's preformed opening. The emergency airlock sucked through the opening with all the force of the pressure differential, hit him in the back like a truck, and he barely kept his grip on the safety bar. All around was a dark, dense, cold, whirling wind. He could see nothing, but he could feel the buffeting of air currents and the cold now rapidly falling to the freezing point of water. His feet slithered on something incredibly slippery.
Ice already?
Barron turned on his helmet lamp and saw swirling fog, streamers of vapor pouring away from left to right. Environmental was the wettest place on the ship, barring the water reserves or a shower in use. Here, the air was more humid than anywhere else, and decompression chilled it below its ability to hold that water as invisible vapor.
Locks up, sir.
Come through, but watch it. It's slippery, dark, and windy in here.
Break safety lines.
Why didn't I think of that?
His suit had all the attachments ready. Barron managed to get the primary hookup out of its fitting and attached to the lock's safety bar. Now he could move away a little, look for other points of attachment. He tried a cautious step away from the hatch and skidded on the wet deck, slithering into something round and hard.
A culture tank?
His helmet light didn't show him anything identifiable but the fat, shiny haunch of a metallic tank of some kind. It looked shinier than it should, and he rubbed it with his gloved hand, then wiped the glove on the chem patch. A formula he didn't recognize came up on his suit display. Not all water, then. It had a lot of C and H and O and some Cl.
Hydrocarbon.
He didn't need a laundry list to think of hydraulic fluid. Slippery, flammable, and, if coming from a high-pressure leak, lethal to get near. Baron switched his suitcom to channel 11.
This is Serrano in SE-14. I found a possible hydraulic fluid leak in number 4.
Acknowledge, Serrano. Take appropriate precautions.
He switched back to his own unit's channel.
Sir?
I'm over here.
Baron rotated his head, sending his helmet light in all directions.
I slid over here. We've got hydraulic fluid as well as water vapor. Show your lamps.
Three feeble glows that could have been any distance.
Right, sir. We have 5 more to cycle through. 3 now clipped on the same safety bar. Have you found any other attachment points?
No, not yet.
Baron had only 3 meters of line on the primary attachment, and they couldn't all clip onto the same bar. There wasn't room. They could clip on each other, but they still needed other attachment points. He edged his way around the metal tank and found a handle of some sort. When he tugged, it held firm. By leaning close with his headlamp, he could see that it opened by turning, with a safety latch holding it closed. Good enough.
Found an attachment. Who's in?
Juan, Talene, Preston.
Juan, clip onto my line. Trail a line to the lock and come to me.
Baron felt the vibration in his safety line as someone moved, and was there beside him.
It's only about 2 meters, sir, but you can't see anything in this murk.
True enough. Let's have that line.
Baron used a running clip to attach the line Juan had trailed to the attachment he'd found. Now anyone could come that way.
Now you clip in.
Juan did so, keeping a safety grip on Baron's line while unclipping his own and reclipping it onto the tank handle.
Talene, find my line and give it a tug. Now, unclip my line and put it on the trailer.
It took a tediously long time to cycle everyone through the lock safely, make sure they were all clipped in, and advance through the greasy murk toward the actual leak. Since the problem was known, at least in part, 4 of the last in the chain lugged a great, awkward roll of bulkhead fabric, which, when stretched across a gap and foamed, would provide an airtight seal with some structural integrity. Baron, in the lead, slithered and slid from one obstacle to another, barking his shins and his ribs on things he couldn't see clearly until he fell over them. This was only fair, he knew, since he had less actual experience than most of the team. He knew he was going the right way because the wisps and tendrils of vapor blew past him. All he had to do was follow. He reported at intervals when his helmet display prompted him to. Suddenly, his headlamp threw back a bright sparkle. A rime of ice now outlined a line of pipe and shapes that should be a row of scrubbers. He could see past them to an irregular white shape bordering a jagged black line.
Could that be the...
His boot slid on the greased, icy decking again, as the strengthening current of escaping air and vapor whipped about him and sucked him toward the gap. He managed not to yelp and felt the jerk when his safety tether came up short.
Don't worry, sir, we got you!
Baron tried to think of something offhand and casual to say, but couldn't. That black crack. He couldn't see how big it was, really. Not big enough for his whole body, surely. But an arm or a hand, perhaps.
All that ice. We're supposed to patch on a dry, clean surface.
We can always torch it off.
No, this vapor may be explosive. It's got hydraulic fluid in it, remember?
Well, then we'll...
A fan of light brighter than the brightest day scythed into the compartment through the crack, giving structure and substance for a moment to the roll of vapor, striking blinding highlights off the ice.
What was that?
The war's not over. The battle's still going on, and it's time we quit sightseeing.
Baron knew he should have said that, but he was noticing the glow. It had not died instantly. It came again, another flash.
Hitting the shields. Hope they hold.
This is Serrano. We've located a hull breach in number 4, but the margins are coated in ice. We'll have to get that off before we can patch it.
Acknowledge, Serrano. Be careful, but be quick.
Ackman, you and Juan get to chipping it off. Want to just reform?
Baron was glad someone else had asked that question.
Notice there's less fog? Most of the water vapor's out now, and the pressure and temp are both way down. Pretty soon it'll be clear enough to see.
It already was, Baron saw when he flashed his lamp around. The fog was below waist level. He could shine his light all the way back to the portable airlock. Something glittered across the darkness, a fine wire. No, the hydraulic leak, still spitting a fine stream of the fluid. He called in the location of the line so damage control could shut off the pressure. Another scythe of light blazed through the crack. Baron ignored it. They still had to fix the leak. Very carefully, in short moves, each restrained by a tether, they moved toward the crack. Ackman and Juan chipped the ice off the bulkhead.
Carefully. We don't want to damage it. Lay your irons down just about horizontal to it.
They chipped from the outside toward the crack. Baron and the others unrolled the patch material and cut off strips to use as supporting surfaces. As soon as they cleared ice from a strip, someone laid down a bead of adhesive and a strip of patch material. No more ice formed on the upper surface of the patch cloth rimming the crack. Baron laid another bead of adhesive on the cloth rim and then, turning the roll around, put the end of the roll flush with the bead at the bottom and began unrolling upwards, sealing one side, while Aver sealed the other. The suction was less now, but still pulled the patch cloth tight against the crack. Someone, Baron couldn't tell who, pumped the foam gun and sprayed quickset foam on the cloth.